can barely talk.
Oh.
And I'm all congested there. I said, John, you don't have to do this.
No, no.
I really should go home after all. Now, we have a special treat, though. That's my idea. On the spot. But she's a teacher. She knows how to do this. And I said, could you fellas teach us a lot about Croatia and the country? And answer questions from the class and everything. Because her major is what? Philosophy and religion. She can tell us about that. And maybe have a little travel thing while we're doing it. And feel free to ask questions.
And we'll go to some very old churches.
But let's go as long as we need to go. If we're doing 30 minutes, that'll be fine.
10
minutes.
Okay.
So, I'm gonna turn it over to Maida and let her tell us all about it.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As you already heard, my name is Maida. And I was asked about 10 minutes ago to do this presentation. So I apologize for not being prepared at all. I'm just going to speak. I'm going to improvise. I'm going to share some of the facts and information about my home country, which is Croatia. Feel free to ask any questions. I'll be glad to answer if I know the answer. If I don't, we can always look online. So I am a teacher. So far, I always was teaching little children. So I apologize if you see that I treat you like children. I think this is my... Yes. Oh, yeah, sorry. This is my husband. This is my husband, Daniel, and he's going to be my assistant here.
Daniel grew up in this church, I think, right?
Since high school.
High school.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't come to church
all the time. I came when I was not studying.
Where
did you meet?
We met in Japan. We were at a graduate school in Nagasaki University. He was doing his PhD, and I was doing a teacher training program at the education department. So that's how we met. We were at the same university in Nagasaki.
Do you speak Japanese?
I struggle. he can, obviously. I'm struggling with my Japanese. But yes, that's where we met in Nagasaki, Japan, about 5 years ago. So, and now we're here. I've been in Austin for about 6 months now. And I'm so happy to be introduced to this church. I enjoy coming here. And
where do you teach?
I did show up. Well, here I don't teach yet because we just got married, so we're still in the process for a green card. But back in Croatia, I used to teach philosophy and religion. And we have this like high school that is called gymnasium, which is kind of I don't know.
It's the first 2 years of college, kind of.
It's 4 years actually, yeah. But it's a high school that gives you like kind of a wide knowledge, and most of the children, because the education system in Croatia is a little bit different. So we have this vocational schools. So if you after elementary school, which is 8 years, you can decide to go for some kind of vocational training. So you can decide to be a nurse. So you go to high school straight. To be a nurse or a beautician or a hairdresser and so on. But at that age, if you're still not sure what you want to do, you can go to a gymnasium, which gives you 4 more years of kind of general education, then you can go to a university after that.
Yeah, in Sweden they have similar.
Okay, yeah. So that is where I was teaching in Croatia. So I was in philosophy, religion, sociology, and some other kind of this, social and humanistic.
Did you grow up as Orthodox Catholic then, or religion?
Roman Catholic. So Croatia is mainly Roman Catholic. We have about 86% of excuse my English, but I'm nervous.
You're great.
So 86% people in Croatia are Roman Catholic. Other will be Orthodox or Muslim. So right next to Croatia, as you can see, is Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is mainly Muslim country. And back, so Croatia was part of Yugoslavia, and they were one country, so there were six states in Yugoslavia, so there was a lot of mixing. And in Croatia, especially in my hometown, there's a lot of Muslim people who came from Bosnia and Herzegovina because of coal mining. We had a big coal mine, and people, they would just kind of import people who would work. So my father is from Bosnia, and because my grandfather came from Bosnia to Croatia to work in a coal mine, and they've been there for 6 years.
What were the six states?
So we have Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Slovenia, here, Bosnia, Serbia, yeah, all the way here, and Montenegro. And Macedonia, Serbia and Montenegro, whatever you want.
Are any of those Orthodox Christians?
Yes, Orthodox Christians are, Serbia is Orthodox, Macedonia, they're Orthodox, yes. And then Montenegro, they're a mix between Orthodox and Muslim. Then Bosnia has, it's a melting pot of everything, but it's mainly Muslim, but you can find a lot of Orthodox and Catholic churches there. And then Kosovo now, it's mainly Muslim too. Yeah. And Slovenia is a Roman Catholic. So it was, the split in Yugoslavia kind of happened because of that, because it's, though it was one country, there was a big divide between religions. So it was Roman Catholic, Orthodox, and Muslim kind of against each other. So that was one of the reasons for the...
Or when you say Orthodox, you mean Greek? Like the Greek church?
Yeah, they're
Russian?
They're Eastern Orthodox. So, okay. Yeah. So, that's about it. Anyways, I wanted to start with some, many of you maybe know that Croatia has kind of recently went through war when Yugoslavia was falling apart. But I want to start this presentation with a more kind of beautiful thing about Croatia, because I like to start with those sad times. How many of you do know something about Croatia, has been to Croatia? Okay. Have you been there?
Yes.
Okay, nice, great. Yeah, Croatia is becoming more and more popular lately, and the reason for that is not because it's my homeland, it's just very beautiful, and I love it. Maybe we can find some photos there. Yeah. So we have beautiful coast, a lot of history, the sea is amazing, and the food is amazing. What is I find this interesting about Croatia is that Croatia is also kind of in the middle of Europe, and it has always been a clash of cultures over there. So we've been ruled by so many different, people, nations. So now Croatia is kind of a melting pot between Mediterranean, because the coast was ruled by Venice. So if I'm from here, I'm from this part. This is where Pula is, where I was born, and this is where my family lives now. So if you go there, you'll find a lot of Mediterranean food, a lot of fish, olive oil, cheese, and so on. But if you go inland, you will find influence from Austro-Hungarian Empire, which we were part of, and Ottoman Empire, which we were also part of. So you will find a mix of kind of that German food, like Wiener Schnitzel and stuff like that, but you will also find Turkish food, like kebab and stuff like that. So that's all Croatian cuisine, which is, Croatia is such a tiny country, but it has such a big diversity. Yes.
Croatian,
mountains
there?
We have mountains, yeah. So this area, kind of green area here, we call this Gorski Kotar, which means mountain area. So you'll kind of have this biggest mountains here in the middle of the country. And then this part is completely flat.
This part.
This part here, yeah. That's completely, completely flat.
Tell us what the predominant language is.
Croatian. So the official language of Croatia is Croatian language, and that's a Slavic language. So it's similar to Russian, similar to Czech language, and so on. So we're Slavic. We're Slavic, and we speak Slavic language. Croatian people came to Croatian territory about 10th century. It's not still sure or confirmed where did they come from, but there is a theory that they came from Middle East and Iran area. But that's just one of the theories that is not still confirmed. So they came here in 7th century, and the legend said they stayed because it was so beautiful. So they started to accept Christianity, because the people that the tribes that were living there before 7th century were already Christians. So Croatian people started to kind of blend in with the locals, and they started to accept Christianity. There is not a lot of data, let's say, about their process, but what is known is that it was kind of peaceful. They kind of accepted it as soon as they arrived, and Croatia has been Catholic or Christian ever since, and they actually had a very good relations with Rome and the Pope. Croatian kings from the very beginning, the first Croatian king was Tomislav, that was his name, and he wrote a letter to Pope and said, I just want to tell you that I am, how to say, what's the English word for that? I'm going to be obedient, let's say, to Rome and to church. Croatia actually, you know that in Catholic Church, the official language was Latin. And all the services, no matter where, were held in Latin. But Croatia was one of the first countries that was allowed to do services in their own language. So that's our history of Christianity in Croatia. Okay, let's show the church. So we have very, considering, you know, how early Croatian people became Christians, we have some very, very old churches over there. So this is one of the churches near my hometown. It's maybe 45 minutes away. The first kind of... So, of course, now when you see a church, it has been built on something that was there before. The first traces of a church in that spot were in 3rd or 4th century. So now this is one of the oldest churches, Catholic churches in Europe. And it's called Eufrasieva Basilica, that's how we call it. It's beautiful for its, it has this beautiful mosaic. I don't know how you can find. Maybe you can find a photo that is. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So there's a lot of art. There's a lot of history. Also, where I was born, we have a Colosseum because we were part of Roman Empire. So we have one of the best preserved Colosseums in the world. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah, not many people know about it. This is in a town called Pula. It's the town where I was born. And so, yeah, it's basically in that. It doesn't have a lot of damage. You can see some kind of chippings here on the top, but that's it. So, and today we still use it. We use it for concerts, we use it for plays, and so on. So it's still alive. And it's it's very, very magnificent. And this year, last year actually, when there was a World Cup, Croatia won second place. It was a national holiday for a little country, and we had actually viewing of the games in the Coliseum. So it was a big, yeah, that's our theme, our pride. We are very proud. Croatia, what American football is here, soccer is for in Croatia. Croatia was, we won third place in a World Cup in 1998, and that was kind of, the war ended in 1995, so that was the first time kind of Croatia came back to the world stage in a, how to say, victorious, after the war in a victorious manner. And it was a huge thing for us it was a big booster for our national pride after what the country has been through the years before. And now, 20 years later, we did it again, and it was a big celebration in our country. So that's it.
How old is the Coliseum?
The Coliseum is about 2,000 years old. It was built in the first century, so yeah. Yeah, this part of the country, I mean, we have a lot of tourists, but when it comes to traveling to Croatia, most of the people go to Dalmatia and that coast. So this part is not that popular with tourists. I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there are still a lot.
They're soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tourists there. But mostly like Italian tourists, because Italy is just 45 minutes from here. So we have, yeah, a lot of kind of tourists that come off for maybe like 2 or 3 days and like weekend trips and so on. So yeah. So Italy, like from here to Trieste, it's about 45 minutes on a highway. So it's pretty close.
Can you take a ferry from Venice?
Yes, it is. You can take a ferry from Venice to Pula or to Rovinj, to this town. So, for example, Venice is the biggest international airport closest to my house, so I would always, and now next week I'm going home, so I'm flying to Venice, and then my parents will pick me up there. So it's easy. Living in Europe, and before I moved out, I kind of always took for granted everything that we have there, you know. My school trips were to Rome, to Greece, to Venice, just for a day, and so on. And you kind of take that for granted, because, okay, that's what we do. But then I moved out, and I realized how blessed we are with all of that. I remember when Daniel visited for the first time, and we walked in front of Colosseum. And he was touching it, like, oh, this is 2,000 years old. And I was like, it's just a Coliseum, you know, we pass back to it every day. We don't really, yeah.
Who was the Coliseum built by?
It was the Emperor called Vespasian. I don't know what the English.
Vespasian?
Yes. So, so that's the emperor who built it. So, and you will find a lot of other Roman kind of spots all around the country. Yes.
What, did you say your parents were going to pick you up in Venice?
Yes.
How do you get from Venice to Pula?
By car.
About
45 minutes is to the border, and then to Venice is about 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
My parents don't live, we live kind of here in a small town, that's where we live.
It's not like this.
So.
Is Croatia in the European Union?
Yes, we entered the European Union in 2013, but we are not part of Schengen yet, so we still need documents, well, only ID, we don't need a passport anymore. So inside of Schengen, it's completely free trade and travel. But Croatia is still not there because we only entered a few years ago, 2013. So The reason why we entered so late, again, is the war, because European Union asked from our government to complete a lot of tasks and complete a lot of solve a lot of war crimes that happened during the war. So we had to go through all of that before we were able to enter the European Union. Yes.
You're saying Schengen?
Schengen.
It's like?
It's an area of European, the countries who are that are in European Union that have complete, that there's no borders anymore.
Oh, okay.
So you can just go and you travel between the states in the United States.
Now I think.
Yeah.
There's a good one.
So you can travel in between those countries absolutely free. There is no borders anymore at all. Yeah. While Croatia is part of the European Union, but still not part of Schengen. So we are hoping to enter Schengen in a year or two. We'll see how that goes. But, we've been there since 2013.
Yes. How was your family affected by the war?
Okay, so the you war in Croatia, we were lucky to live, I live here in that little triangle. So the war kind of, Croatia was affected in the war anywhere where Serbian people live. Because Serbians thought that everywhere where Serbians live, people from Serbia live, Serbian government thought that. I don't want to generalize about the people, because people are not guilty for the tragedy that happened. But they thought that everywhere where there is a lot of Serbian people, there should be Serbia.
Right.
So, my area here was not affected by, meaning that we didn't have actual shooting in front of our houses, but we had how we felt the war. Well, my dad was out there fighting, because it was just here, like, so this is, like, we could hear it, because it's just across the bay. You could see it in the night, you could see the explosions, you could hear them. And Pula was a big army, and still is an army base, so we had all the planes and everything coming from there to the rest of the country. And my dad was here in this area fighting. So mom, I'm an only child, so mom and I were alone at home. What the biggest effect was, you know, unemployment that came with it. So most of the people, because this part of the country lives most of the tourism, and you know, when the war started, that died, and everything kind of collapsed. So that was the biggest effect for my family, was, let's say, economic crisis that we were in. But also something, because I was very small when the war started. I was 6 years old. I just started elementary school. So you don't really understand at that age what's happening. You know, you understand there is war. You understand there are limitations. But you kind of, when you grow up in it, I just thought that was normal. You know, that was a normal way to live your life. And even after war ended in 1995, it took me a long time to realize, okay, we're out of that. It's peace now. We can travel free. Because before that, you couldn't really get out of anywhere. Because as soon as you wanted to kind of cross this border here, you would be in a war zone. So the traveling around the country was very limited. So I didn't, Zagreb is the capital of Croatia, and I haven't been into the capital until I went to high school. Because it was too risky to travel there. So yeah, that was how it was affected in this area. So yeah, we were lucky in this way that we didn't have, there was some bombings in Pula, but they were targeted just to the military bases, so no civilians were hurt, while in other parts of the country it was just, They didn't choose where they're going to shoot. So that's than about the war. But the war ended in 1995, and Croatia has been rebuilding itself. And I think we are doing quite a good job. It's still going to take a long time to, you know, forget about it completely. Kind of hurts me the most, I see a lot of negative nationalism in between the countries. There's still a lot of hatred between the people, you know, them and us, and so on. And I hope that is going to change, because it's really hard to progress while you have this kind of feelings towards your neighbors, because, I mean, Serbia is our first neighbor, so.
How did Croatia get all the shoreline in Bosnia? They didn't get one.
Okay, there is actually, where is the little split?
Yeah, one little piece.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's a question we get a lot. Where's the room?
Let's start with.
That's like
E-Trade. So, first, Jake did a little study on that, and to be honest, that I learned that from him, because I was like, okay, that's just something, again, you take for granted, and you never think why your country has all this coast, and the first neighbor doesn't, and then he was very curious about it. So you can tell that story.
All right. Well, first, there's Dubrovnik, which is down at the very tip of the country here. And if you watch Game of Thrones, that's King's Landing. That's where they film it. Literally. But before, this was his own republic, because it was based on an economy on salt. This whole peninsula here is basically known for producing salt, which is the most valuable commodity you can have. Problem was that this was all Venetian Empire, and they were busy defending themselves from the Venetians, whereas this was Ottoman Empire. So they made a deal with the Ottoman Empire that if they gave them this little strip here, they would protect the strait into Dubrovnik. And so historically, they gave it away, and now Bosnia has Neum, which
is
about 20, about 10 minutes.
Yeah, if you're traveling from any of this part of Croatia, when I get to Dubrovnik, you have to go to Bosnia. Because now this Croatia is basically split in half because of that part of history.
What country is Dubrovnik in?
Croatia.
Okay.
This was also a Catholic country, so when they finally, I think it was Napoleon decided, you guys need to be together.
Yeah, because Dubrovnik was a country for itself. It was the Dubrovnik Republic, a town that was a country.
And those islands are part of what?
Croatia, that's all Croatia. Yeah. So the islands, we have about 1,200 islands in Croatia, yes. And they're all beautiful, and they all have a lot of history. They are now planning to build a bridge from this peninsula here to the mainland Croatia, so you wouldn't have to go through Bosnia in order to... Because Bosnia is not a part of the European Union, so that's going to make it complicated, especially when we get into Schengen. The country is split in half, and like if you want to travel... for example, because Dubrovnik is so isolated here, so people who live there, if they want to do anything, they have to go through Bosnia in order to, because Dubrovnik is a small town, so hospitals, universities, better schools, everything is up north, so you have to try, yes.
So is there a border check to go through?
Yes, there is a border check. For us Croatians, because we have kind of a deal with, between the countries, we only need an ID, we don't need a passport. But for all the tourists that are coming, they need to go through a regular border check. And it's like, you have the check, you drive for 10 minutes, and then you have another check. Croatian and Bosnian, yes. So you have Croatian, I see that as one check. So you have Croatian check, Bosnian check, 10 minutes of driving, then Bosnian check, Croatian check again. So you have to 4 checks in
But where this is complicated is at our wedding, we have a few friends from Nagasaki who are from Pristina in Kosovo. The problem is that the Serbian section of Bosnia does not recognize Kosovo as a country. And so when they were having to drive to the where the wedding was, they would have to go through here. And Bosnia does not accept them as a country, so their passports are invalid. So they had to drive all the way around, and they take a ferry. So it does cause some diplomatic issues.
Yes. Especially for Kosovo, which is still not recognized by... The reason why it's not recognized is Bosnia, because Bosnia is a federation. Or how do you say that?
Federation,
yes. Between Bosnian Croats and Serbs. So they have three governments, three presidents, and so it's one country with three. Yes. So the Serbian part of Bosnia does not recognize Kosovo, because they believe Kosovo should be Serbian. Kosovo went through their War of Independence in 1998, just after the war in Bosnia and Croatia. So Serbia still doesn't recognize that, so they cannot travel freely.
Through here.
Because of that. So when our friends were visiting, they had to take a ferry, and not because they couldn't go through that little leap over there. Yeah, it's very, very complicated when you think about it. The Balkan area and the politics that are there now, and especially what happened 30 years ago. But back to brighter kind of topics, I just wanted to talk to you about some things that are from Croatia. Many people don't know that they're from Croatia. For example, a tie, a necktie. Necktie came from Croatia. So it was part of Croatian army. So white or yes, that's real. This is the biggest tie in the world that they made around the Colosseum, so they could get into the Guinness Book of World Records. tie was part of Croatian army uniform. So it was kind of a scarf that was given to soldiers by their wives or girlfriends and so on, in like order of like memory. And they came to visit Louis, I think, 14th in France, and how he was all into fashion. He was like, oh, I like that. I like those things. And he made it popular. So people think it's kind of a French thing, but actually originally it came from Croatia. So we are the land of...
Did you start the way to tie it? Mm? Did you start the way to tie the
tie? I don't know about that. But the idea of wearing something around your neck, it comes from this. Another thing that is, a person that is very, that comes from Croatia, he was born in Croatia, was Nikola Tesla. Yes. Yeah, so he was born in Croatia from Croatian mother and Serbian father. So, again, there is another big dispute between our countries. Who does he belong to? Is he Serbian or is he Croatian? But his mother was Croatian. He was born in Croatia, so we like to claim him.
So does he have something to do with the car?
With the Tesla car? No, I don't think he just... They just used his name. I don't think he has anything to do except for the fact that it's electric.
He was a great inventor.
He was one of the greatest minds of all time. So he was born in a small town near. Go. Can you put the map back? Or small town. Okay, this is the little house that he was. And his father was an Orthodox priest. And that's why they have a little church. So he was born in this little house because his father was a priest in that little church. So today you can go Yes.
Oh,
yeah, it's very beautiful. And today you can go and visit, and maybe you can see a museum, and you can learn a lot about his life.
It's here?
Yeah, about there. Oh, which yeah.
There. You want to talk about sleepy
too? Yeah. Another thing about that comes from Croatia is Dalmatian dog.
Oh,
the little, you know, the Dalmatian dogs?
Yeah. And
Cruella and Bill. Yeah, well, he's not Croatian. But, so Dalmatian, the coast of Croatia is called Dalmatia. So, this is all Dalmatia. And that's where the dog's name comes.
Dalmatian
dog.
What was it bred for? Herding?
We don't know actually a lot about the... We have a Croatian shepherd that is bred for herding and so on. Why the Croatian... So I don't know exact history of the Dalmatian dog, but I know that the reason why it's called Dalmatian is because the first time that kind of dog was documented was on a painting of from some kind of a noble person from Dalmatia. And he had like made this portrait of him and with that dog. And that was the first time that kind of dog was kind of documented, and it was called Dalmatian because of Dalmatian person. Yeah, but it's not like they, the history of the breed, I'm not really, I don't know a lot about it. Yeah. So, what else is big from Croatia? Yes?
During the war, were you involved, were you aware of the U.S. involvement?
Me personally?
Or yeah.
Well, I was a child. I was 6. I just started elementary school. So I really did not understand a lot. You know, when you're a child going through these kind of things, you know there's something happening, and you know your dad is at home and so on, but I didn't really understand the political
I'd say in general, though, was one of the things Bill Clinton remorses the most about his presidency is his lack of activity in the Croatian / Slovenian parts of the war. Also Rwanda is an extension of that. But basically, the country was more occupied with Desert Storm than it was with this, and dealt this as this is a European issue. Let Europeans. Mm-hmm. Handle it. And then when Bosnia got very bad is when U.S. involvement got started.
Bosnia started after Croatia. So Croatia started in 1991. Bosnia started a year later.
And then seeing how bad it got there, when Kosovo started to get bad, it kind of U.S. acted more quickly.
Yeah, Kosovo started about 1998, I think. So it was kind of one after... another. What I remember as a child is we had this kind of assignment in school that we were making pictures and writing letters to the White House. I do remember that. With messages about stop the war in Croatia. That's what I have in my memory from our interactions with the United States as a child. So, yes.
You mentioned coal. Salt,
mm-hmm.
fish,
yes.
And olives.
Yes.
Are there other, what do people work, how do people work there? What do they do?
Coast, completely tourism now. So that's our main industry. It's gotten huge in the last few years, which is good. We got a lot of, I think Croatia is starting to be this kind of new place is still cheap enough, you know. It's getting more expensive, more and more expensive, but it's still cheap enough when you compare it to Italy or the other, you know, France and so on. But it has all the beauty, which is kind of still not at that level exploited by tourism. Again, we're getting there, and we're gonna, I think, a few years from now, if not next year, it's gonna be all over. But so tourism is our main industry, and then this part, as I said, from here to here, is just flat, so that agriculture.
My understanding, I could be wrong, is the war. more, what industry you had, the war pretty much destroyed.
Yes, yes.
And they have not built it back up again.
I would say service industries are very strong.
But industrial and manufacturing.
War destroyed it all, and that was one of the big consequences of war that me and my family, because both of my parents lost their jobs because of the war, and they had nowhere to go back to because my mother was in tourism, so that was destroyed. And my dad was in industry, that was destroyed. He was working in a factory. So for years, they had nowhere to go because it took a long... In order to build a country from scratch again, it takes a long time. So we've been, about 30 years. Though it might seem like a long period, it's not a long period to build a country. So we built our tourism, and that's kind of the first thing, because we realized that's where money comes, and we have all these beautiful resources that let's use it. When it comes to other, like agriculture or other industry, we still have a lot of ways to go. And hopefully now, as we are part of the European Union, we're going to get more help from them. Because again, you know, when the country gets destroyed, you don't have money to build. You know, that's it. You have this, and you could rebuild it if you had the resources, but you don't. So unfortunately, that resulted. Well, Croatia is still economically very unstable, and there is still a huge unemployment rate there, and so on. But I'm happy to see year after year that it's getting better. It's getting better. Every time I go, because I've been out of Croatia now for five years, more than 5 years. And every time I go home, I see it's getting better. And I see my friends who are now young people starting the family, they're living better lives that my parents did or that we did when we were children. So I'm happy to see that that is changing.
You two went in Japan, huh?
Yes.
In school or what?
School, yeah. At the Nagasaki University.
It's interesting because we have another couple of the same church here. Same type of deal. Mm-hmm. Paul and Nod and Keith are on their way to South Africa right now.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughter grew up here, mother's Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
She taught school in Hanoi. She met the same lad, South Africa, in Hanoi.
Small world. Small world, yes. I guess God works in mysterious ways, you know. Sometimes you have to travel all around the world to find your soulmate. Yeah.
How common is English in Croatia?
Well, I mean, because of the tourism, it's common. We speak, in school, we study English, we study Italian, we study German, because you can't live in such a small country in the middle of Europe if you don't know any other language. You should. I mean, as I said, 45 minutes from my house and you're in Italy. So if you want to move anywhere, you have to speak at least one foreign language. So I know it's very frustrating for him, but he really tries to learn Croatian, and he goes, and we go to Zagreb, which is capital, and now he's in an ice cream shop, and he wants to try his Croatian, and he's breaking his language, trying to order. And the person says, you know, this would be much faster in English. So, I appreciate your effort, but let's switch to English so we can start moving to their So, yes, it's very common. It might not be perfect English, but it's going to be enough for most people to communicate.
Where would you recommend, if someone could go and go three places, where would you recommend they go?
Place at the lake.
What?
Place at the lake. There you go.
So,
it's a national park, and they're, as the name says, the lakes. But they're kind of cascades, so they're lakes that...
Oh, blue, are you?
They're made by travertine. Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
Travertine, where they build up.
I don't know what the English word, but it's
right. Yeah, it's calcium deposit built up.
Yeah, I don't know what the English word for that.
If we could get the sky view, like it's a series of lakes built,
yes.
And it's.
And it's beautiful. It's really one of the most beautiful places I've
ever. North or south of Dubrovnik?
It's north. It's north. It's
Well, it's loading. It's here.
It's here.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's definitely one place I would recommend. Second place, it's hard. We have so many. But then Dubrovnik. Dubrovnik is gorgeous. It's one of those. It's a touristy, the most touristy place in Croatia, but you have to.
It's turning into Venice. Like, that busy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But it depends when you go, actually. The tourist season in Croatia is only summer, so it's going to be June to maybe end of September. But if you go in spring, like, for example, April or May, you're still going to get nice weather. You won't be able to swim because it's too cold for that, but you will have nice weather and no tourists. So we went to visit Dubrovnik in April 1 year, and the town was empty. Literally, just local people and us. So, while next time we went, it was in June, and people were lined up to enter through the city gate. So, you just have to choose your season to go there.
And then I would suggest Zagreb as kind of, because it's just something different. Yeah, obviously, the coast has all, I mean, it's gorgeous. And like Zadar is a place where like you can have a Roman market next to a church, next to something, and you can sit and have coffee in the middle of it.
Can you drive there?
Yes. I would recommend if you go to take, because our public transportation, you have buses, and they're pretty well connected to the towns, but it's going to take a lot of time. So renting a car, I think, is the best way to do Croatia. But he said, like, you have Roman ruins, you're going to drink coffee. Again, something I take for granted. We were in a small town called Šibenik, which has this beautiful cathedral that's now part of UNESCO heritage. And it's a small town. It's not touristy. But the kids were playing soccer in front of the cathedral, using the cathedral wall as their goal. And, you know, it's a normal sight for us. And he's like, this is UNESCO heritage. How are they allowed to do that? That's where they grow. You know, they probably live just across the street, and they're playing soccer here. And
everything is old.
Yeah, everything is old. Historical. We have, for a country that's small, we only have 4.5 million people in Croatia. So we are very such a small country, and we have about 22 UNESCO heritage sites. So it's quite a lot for a country of that size.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is Split with the Lakes. It's beautiful.
What's
that? So I do Split with the, and I do Dubrovnik. If you only have three spots in Croatia, I wouldn't do Zagreb. Zagreb is the capital. It's a big city, and it's beautiful. But if you only have three things, I would do Dubrovnik, Split with the, and then I'd go to Istria. That's my region. And they call it Croatian Destiny. And that's really what it is. It's just little hills with little medieval. This is my hometown, Loving. So that's what Istria is all about. Just little medieval towns on the hills. And vineyards and olive trees and lavender all over. So it's really beautiful. But still not that spoiled by tourism like the rest. And
you get snow?
We do.
About the seasons.
Okay, seasons. We have four seasons. We have winter that is cold. On the coast, not that much. It gets very cold, but because of the sea, we don't get snow. We have this very cold wind called Bura, which just last week was blowing about 170 kilometers per hour. I don't know how much is that in miles.
Hurricane level.
Yeah, it's pure level, and you get that on weekly basis. But that's why we built our house out of stone, so they're dirty. And this is Bura. Yeah, that's winter on the seaside. Inland gets a lot of snow and it gets really cold. Then we have beautiful spring that starts about March. Until kind of May, middle of June, the temperatures are nice and kind of in their 20s Celsius. Again, I don't do party Fahrenheit. And then we have summer, which is hot. It's hot. I haven't
tried the summer in Austin yet. So maybe I'll change my criteria for hot, but for now I think Croatia is very hot here. It's hot, and then we have autumn, which starts September and goes until maybe November when it starts getting really cold. So four seasons changing constantly. So it's very beautiful, for example, the place is the lakes. If you go there in summer or in spring, you have all this lush greenery, but if you go there in winter, it's just going to be completely covered with snow, and like all the waterfalls are going to be frozen, and it's like a fairy tale. So,
but it's southern Croatia. It must be,
is it warmer? It is a little bit warmer, yeah, southern. So yeah, there's a split with the lake in winter, so you can get every season spring something else to admire at. So.
Can you ski around there?
Yeah, well, again, because of the war, it didn't really, we had few ski resorts, but because they were all in this mountain area, of course, and the mountain area is the area that was the mostly affected by war. So after the war, they kind of focused on the sea tourism, so they really they rebuilt it, but not for mass tourism. So if we want to go skiing, we go to Italy or France or Slovenia, because they have the Alps, and they have all this big.
So let's put some context, like, there's a, like, Bosnia is very mountainous, so that's why the Olympics were there.
Okay. Yes, if you recall. Winter Olympics in 1984.
Yes, but tell me, they don't have any golf courses.
We don't have golf courses. We don't do golf. I'm sorry, we don't do golf. Maybe that should be our next step. Maybe now when I go back home, I'll, you know, if you want more American tourists, maybe we should start building golf courses. But so for now, I don't think I've ever seen a golf course in Croatia, really.
Theo didn't like golf, huh?
Nope. Maybe he did, but he probably got his other resources to go and play golf. Yeah, I think we should.
We normally wrap up in about the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, this went longer than I.
You did great.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do have a question. Are you sure you two didn't practice this before?
You did a good job. Well done.
No, I'm. Thank you for your attention. I apologize for not being prepared. It would be better if I was prepared.
So that's it.
Yeah.
When we were there, our tour guide was born in Bosnia, but she's a third generation from Croatia. But they still consider her Bosnian because her parents were from Bosnia.
Yes.
Is that true with you? Do you still consider yourself Bosnian?
Well, my mom is Croatian and my father is Bosnian. So I was born and raised in Croatia. And my father is, they're Catholics from Bosnia. So yeah. It's a different feeling. The Bosnians are usually the original ones, but they are Muslim. So for my family, we're always considered, I consider myself Croatian. Though I do treasure my Bosnian. Like, for example, my grandma, she was very Bosnian. She's been living in Croatia for 60 years, but when you talk to her, you know she's Bosnian as soon as she opens her mouth. So, yes, it's the accent, the way she speaks, the food that she prepares. On the other hand, on my mother's side, they are Croatians, but with Italian heritage, so it's kind of a mix of the two in my family. But I do consider myself.
So it's interesting the Persian side. So you're more European,
right? Yes.
Than no Arab blood in.
And for Croatians, no, there is no. As far as we know, it's still just a series. It's not something that.
I would say the theory would be going this way over about 400, like, a long time.
Yeah.
So that's not really.
Yeah. It's not something that we can confirm. It's just a theory that we came from that area up in the big, how do you call it,
immigration.
And then all the Slavs kind of picked their own place, you know, and we found the most beautiful corner of it. So
you can't go with you.
So, yeah. Thank you very much.